Morning, everybody. I hope you all enjoyed that message last week that we played from Tiff Shuttlesworth. As you know, he's one of my favorite modern-day preachers, and I really appreciate his ministry. And as a matter of fact, I turned that very same message on that Don was just speaking about late last night, and I fell right asleep, so I have to watch it again. Turn it on again and watch it, because it, not that it put me to sleep, but I fell asleep when it was on. Good morning, Andrew. It is so good to see you this morning. Virtual hugs here from me way up here to you. I'll hug you when I get done, and good to see you, and I hope your family's doing well, and good to see you. I was thinking of you recently and hoping and praying that you were doing well, so thank you for coming to visit us. This morning, my sermon title is A New Kind of Deception with a question mark. And my text is Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. Romans 16, 17 through 20. And if we'll pray, you can get to the location and pray at the same time. I don't think the Lord would mind a bit. Father God, we want to know your voice above every other voice, Lord. We want to be in tune with you, with your Holy Spirit, O God, to know what's around us and who labor among us. And Lord, I ask your blessing upon this word today, that it would ring true in our hearts and our ears and prepare us, as Don was saying, prepare us for those who need this message. In Jesus' name, amen. The danger is real. I truly believe that. The Bible speaks very clearly about deception, especially in the last days in which we live. And I spoke about this very subject about 1 year ago. It was in August of last year that I spoke about deception and how it was prevalent. It is prevalent in our society, and we see it in every faction of society, academia, the sciences. Just think in your mind of things you've heard and been told about these things that you know in your heart are not true. Academia, the sciences, monetary systems, and religion. Yes, even in the church. And if we are not very alert, we can become so conditioned to these incoming messages that we miss what's right in front of us. Deception in the last days was prophesied in three of the four Gospels, and Jesus himself warned that false Christ would come and try to deceive even the very elect of God. The Apostle Paul echoed similar warnings many times. He warned that false teachers would be led by a different spirit. They would preach a different gospel, and that they would mislead many people to accept the false Jesus that does not comport with the Jesus of Scripture. These false teachers will deceive sincere people using lies, crafty arguments, changing doctrine, false philosophical reasoning, and emotional appeals in order to win human emotion. I certainly see and recognize all these things in society, but they seem so far-fetched to me. In my upbringing and my closeness to the Lord in this very church and being surrounded by others who are God-fearing, God-believing, Bible-knowing people, I don't have a problem with accepting things that I know are not in the book. However, even I can fall for such lies and deception. But deception in the church, That's even more far-fetched. Don't you think if someone got up here teaching you a false Jesus, you would know this is not right. This does not ring true with my spirit. But what if they tell you lies? What if they tell you what you think you know, what you want to hear from them? The Bible teaches us three ways that we can know the fake from the real. Our text, Romans 16, verses 17 through 20. Paul wrote this to the Christians, not to unbelievers, but to the Christian brothers and sisters in the church at Rome. Verse 17, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who would cause divisions, create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them. That's Paul's advice. Avoid them. Verse 18, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. And the God of peace, listen to that, will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Paul said, avoid them. The second point that I want to make, that we can know the false and differentiate, in Matthew 7:15, Jesus himself is speaking and tells us that these false prophets will come in what? Sheep's clothing. But inside they will be ravenous wolves seeking prey to kill, steal, and destroy, just as their father. But Jesus said these words about that. Don't worry, because you will recognize them by their fruits. He goes on to say that good and bad fruit cannot come from the same tree, but bad fruit comes from diseased trees, and they must be cut down and burned in the fire. It makes me remember these five trees that were lining this side of the church house here just a year or so ago. And the people that came out and looked at them said, these trees have to go. They are diseased. And when they cut them down, sure enough, you could see the disease inside the tree. But you couldn't necessarily see it from the outside unless you were a trained eye to know. And once again, he said, you will recognize them by their fruits. The third way, Jeremiah 14, verse 13 tells us that these lying prophets, even though they would use the name of Jesus, they lie to the people and tell them things that God did not say. And they tell it for their own gain, to cause people to follow them and even to pay them money. My goodness, have we ever seen such a demonstration of this in our lifetime? And even things like getting likes and followers on YouTube and Facebook sound much the same. But these lying prophets too, the Bible said, would be cut down by sword and by famine. And unfortunately, likewise, would all those who follow after their lies will perish. So these three ways we know the difference between the real and the fake. One, are they causing divisions? In Romans 17 or 16, we just read, and Jesus said, you'll know them by the message they tell. Does it ring true with the message that Jesus preached to us? Matthew said, we'll know them by their fruits. So the message, the fruits, are they the same on the inside as they are seemingly on the outside? Or are they ravenous wolves on the inside? And Jeremiah tells us that the words must align with what the written word of God says at all cost. If they tell a different message, they will lead others astray, and they themselves will be destroyed. In all of these cases, the deception was a facade to hide the real, to hide the true identity, to hide the fake from the truth. I want to tell you an experience. Some of you already know this, but I feel like the Lord would have me share this, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But my experience with deception right here in this very church on Sunday morning, August 18th, when we were visited by three young people, young to me, they were probably college age or just recently graduated, and they offered me personally the opportunity to join their Bible study and their theology class because it's offered free of charge to pastors. Now, after this all happened and I had time to process this in my mind, you'd better believe I thought, well, how dare they come in here and offer me their Bible college and their theology? What were they thinking? Well, let's find out what they were thinking. Because at the time, I'm not proud of this by any stretch of the word, because I was very open and interested in them because of the free classes that they offered. So I began, and the reason I was interested in that is because I always feel so inadequate, so unprepared, standing here before you, bringing the word of God as though I know anything because I know my limitations. So when they offered, because of my own feelings of inadequacy, I said, oh, this might be something that I could really benefit from. I could learn of people who are smarter than me and, you know the Bible so much better than I do. So I started asking them questions about the source of the training. What is the material that you use? Who are the instructors? And, you know, I tried to find out a bit about what they believe and what's the underlying foundation of what would be taught. But when I started pressing them for answers about who are you, what do you believe, where do you get your funding from, what are your core beliefs, and what is the name of your church, I got lies. Polite lies, but lies. Lies such as, we teach nothing of men. We teach word for word what the Bible says, and only what the Bible says. We don't use men's thoughts or men's books. Every word of that is untrue. By the next morning, I had received emails from them pressing me to attend a meeting in San Francisco that they had invited me to. I declined going there in person because, number one, I'm old, I get lost, I can't drive that, I mean, I can drive, but I get lost and not going to drive myself to San Francisco unless it's to go to the jewelry store, Audrey. But I wouldn't do it by myself. So anyway, I did agree to join online. And once I was on the Zoom meeting, there were about 8 of us online and about 30 people in the meeting room and that I could see on camera in this meeting in San Francisco. They sang 3 of the most prominent popular songs that you would hear if you played the radio station that all of these are played on. But there was no life in the worship. There was absolutely deadness in the room. It was joyless. It was spiritless. And these were supposed to be pastors. So the 2 presenters, they were instructors in their school, and they spoke from very well done PowerPoints, which I like, and they gave testimonies of converts to their to the Lord, not to their organization, they're silent about that, but to the Lord and how the Bible classes would be run. There would be tests that you must pass or you go back and start over. Daily, I receive texts from them, emails and phone calls pushing me. But not once did I get any answers to the multitude of questions that I had already asked them. And of course, I did my own research. I looked them up online. I found nothing under the name that they gave me, New Heaven, New Earth, except for one small church in Palo Alto that had not very many people, and they were all older people. And so I sent the link to them, and I said, "Is this who you are?" And they said, "Oh, no, this is not us at all. We don't know them. We don't have anything to do with them," even though they had the same name, New Heaven, New Earth. And I said, "Why is there no online information about you? Why can I not find anything about New Heaven, New Earth? There's no registry of where your church is located." So you see this back and forth of me pushing and them giving me dead-end answers. And they told me another lie. She said, "Well, we're fairly new and we just haven't taken the time to sit down and put it all on the web." And I thought to myself, these are college-educated kids. They had to be using computers and doing programming and things in high school, let alone in college. I know that there's got to be information about them. So I got my research team involved, Don and Audrey and Terry and Jan. And I cannot tell you how thankful I am for them, because within hours, they all got red flags and warnings in their spirits immediately. And by this time, I had had a call with a superior in their organization to answer all of my questions, which she did not. What she did do is tell me, "You've been chosen to attend." Flattery. Remember those words we used, we read in the scripture? "Well, you've been chosen to be one of 120,000 pastors to go to our convention. It's in Korea." And I thought, Korea? I've been to Korea once. My plane landed there, and I was literally greeted with men and women in full combat uniforms and machine guns as I came out of the airplane and walked down a corridor like this. I kid you not. It was in the middle of the night. It was about 2:00 in the morning. And I thought, I don't really want to go to Korea for any reason. Not that Korea is a bad place, but that was my experience. I had been to China, went there as a landing point to go on to, I think, Singapore or vice versa. I think I went to Singapore first and was going to China. But anyway, it was not a pleasant experience. But this is where I had been chosen to be one of 120,000 pastors. And the meeting was all about the Bible classes and the convention, or excuse me, the theology school that they taught. Well, that set off red flags in me, as I said, because of my own experience. But then the question started coming to my mind, why would 120,000 pastors of churches all over the world leave their church and go to this convention in Korea? It just made no sense to me. That very same morning, after I'd had this conversation with this woman, Terry sent me a link to a video that she had found. And she said, Debbie, do you know that this group is based in Korea? And when she said Korea, and this was just maybe an hour or two after I'd had this meeting with this, on the phone with this lady, Dawn sent me a video, a podcast of two men interviewing another, or I think it was two, Alex somebody, can't remember his name.
Pagani.
Huh? Pagani, yeah, Alex Pagani, interviewing someone who had been involved in this group. And guess where it was located? Korea. So I knew something's wrong. I knew it was the same group, and I knew that I'd been lied to, and I knew that all the stuff they told me was false. New Heaven, New Earth is actually a cult, and it's my, I don't speak Korean or Chinese, I believe this is a Chinese name, Shinjanji, and it's a very aggressive and infiltrative cult, and thus dangerous. It is definitely based out of Korea, and it preys on people with certain weaknesses, relationships that have gone south. They pretend they go on to dating websites, which, by the way, I'm not on a dating website, Jan. Thank you. She keeps begging me to get on one. I am not. But they do pose as someone looking for a date, and they position themselves to have answers, and oh, I'll be your girlfriend, and you know, this kind of thing. They also target the financially insecure. They find people that are easily led astray, is my point. And here I was, not easily led astray, but so eager to take part in their training. There are multiplied hundreds of videos on YouTube of people giving their testimony of getting out of this cult, of the Lord speaking to them and saying, this is false, this is not true. Read the Word of God yourself and you will see this is fake. And they've come out of this cult. It's all based on deception. The facade that I told you about. Everything is kept hidden and secretive until you're into the web and you would have trouble getting out of it. This is why I couldn't get any answers. This is why I couldn't find anything out about them. They keep it secret. They require, number one, right out of the chute, you separate yourself from your family, even if it is a spouse, from your church, and from anyone who would contradict their belief. You are to separate yourself from them. And they teach this very actively. They insulate you and themselves with the new recruits from any online information about them. If you happen to find the same information that Don and Terry found and send it to me, they or send it to them, they would deny it and say, this is a lie. This is not true. This is not who we are. But much like Scientology, They believe that all other religions, all other churches are apostate. They are Babylon in particular. I read that there are 250,000 members of this cult in South Korea. And listen to this, 60% of them have joined since COVID. People wanting to connect. People not allowed to go to church, but these people would go one-on-one with them and provide that relationship and that fellowship that they were so desiring. So they go in and they literally take over churches. They take over the pastorship. They take over the finances, and they funnel all of that into their cult. What I've described to you is so far about their practices and their motives. But here's a little bit about their doctrine and what makes them so dangerous. They have reinterpreted who Jesus is. He is not God according to their beliefs. There is no Trinity. But they lie to the victims in the beginning and tell them that it's mainstream religion so that you won't get your, you know, hackles up and your doubts would not come up. They deny Christ's deity and therefore his pre-existence until such time that he was born to Mary. Now, this is so interesting. On this morning that they came to visit us, August the 18th, my message was about what was before the beginning. Does anyone remember that? And I said the words, I don't know why the Lord gave me this message. I knew that none of us would disbelieve that the Trinity was before the creation. Of course we believe it. We've been taught it and the scripture says it. But guess what? They don't believe that. They don't believe that Jesus was deity. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe any of that. So they deny Jesus' bodily resurrection. They say he arose in spirit only, and that all the acts he did on earth were in spirit, not physical. And then in 1966, they had some sort of miraculous thing happened, and they say that Jesus then appeared and revealed himself to seven men in Korea, one of whom was Jesus. Of the seven men, was named to be Jesus, the successor to the real Jesus. That man died, and he did not resurrect. So they had to have another new Jesus, and they called him the new John, so as not to get so much confusion, but he was really supposedly the new Jesus. He was one of the seven, and his name is Lee Man-hee. This man has re-engineered the entire book of Revelation, replacing himself where the real Jesus is in the book of Revelation at every turn. And this is who these three people wanted me to go to Korea and meet in their convention, the new Jesus or John or whoever he is, Lee Man-hee. And that takes place next month, by the way. If anybody wants to go, let me know. I think this is enough proof to prove that this was, and to convince me for sure, that this is a cult. That it came through the door of this church and sat itself here and listened to preaching that said the Trinity was before God created the heavens and the earth, that Jesus Christ was before, that the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep before God created. And they don't believe any of that. It made me feel horrible. It made me feel such a failure that I had allowed this to go on for maybe 3 or 4 days before the revelation of who they were came and I put a stop to it. I felt like even a charlatan for wanting to take advantage of their free offering of teaching for pastors and theology training. I was sharing this with a friend of mine, and she said, "I see that entirely differently than you do." She said, "I praise God that He gave you this experience and allowed you to go through this to learn who they are so that you can warn other churches and other people that you know." Because they told me, standing right there in the aisle, "We have identified 400 churches in this area that we want to visit and get the word out to." So as soon as I knew who they were, I wrote to them and I asked if they were Shinjonji, and if so, don't contact me again. Don't use my contact information. As a matter of fact, when they were standing there, they wanted to take my picture, and Audrey said, "No, no, no. There's a picture of her on the website. If you want it, you can get it from them or from there." I appreciated that protection, not to give them any contact information. And I told them they were not welcome to come back to the church unless they were seeking truth. And their response to me was, "I hope that someday you'll reconsider." And I said, "That day will not come." I've told you this for several reasons. The number one reason is that Christians recoil from hearing negativity about other groups. Is it true? Yes, we automatically think, "Oh, we can't gossip. We can't talk about them." We just read Romans 16 that said, "Avoid them." We just read Matthew and Jeremiah that said they're going to perish for their actions and what they believe. Avoid them. We need to know who labor among us. We need to know who walks through the door of where they're from, what they believe, and who they are teaching is Jesus or John, or whoever they are on today. By the way, this man, Lee Man Hee, is 91 years old. Do you think he'll be around too much longer? I don't. I don't know who they're going to get once he goes and what they're going to call him. I don't know. But I do know that the people I have heard online sobbing that they were involved in this group, sobbing that they believed that the women that they were dating and were planning to marry really loved them, when all the time they were just a victim of this cult. It's very, very sad. And I told Don that I was going to ask him if he wanted, he did a fair amount of research on this himself, if I forgot anything or left anything out that he feels is relevant and should be told and said, this is your time.
Well, only in that video with Anthony Pagani was his name. I don't know him well, but he said one of the reasons he was doing it was because they came into his church as well. And so the man that he interviewed was one who was contacted on a dating site.
Yes.
And was leaving a relationship or having, you know, some difficult period in his life and found somebody, and it was the same thing. Pure deception all the way to, you know, to the point where he was almost, well, he was in it for actually some time.
Right.
I think he might have gone to Korea.
It takes 9 months to go through all of the courses.
But it was on the basis of seeking a relationship.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of deception. You know, the gospel should stand for the gospel and not, you know, through some kind of deception to trick people, because that's not faith anyway if you're tricking somebody. So that seems to be the basis of their recruitment, is all deception and lies.
Yep. Has anyone heard of this group other than, you know, what our experience here has been? They are global. Nancy?
I actually have heard of them, but I want to send out the warning that this man who they put in the Book of Revelation, whatever his name is, that his judgment, I mean, I do not, his judgment is going to be like Hitler's, because you don't mess with the Book of Revelation.
Yeah.
There is a warning in the Book of Revelation, and, you know, and that he put himself there. I mean, he's going to have a terrible,
yes,
terrible judgment.
I agree.
But I have heard of the jinn part.
Shenzhong Ji.
Yes, I have heard of it.
Also, this organization preys on people, especially in churches.
Right.
And, you know, there's a whole world of lost souls. And if people's drive, and this goes to, you know, ministries on YouTube and all the rest that are poaching people out of other,
yes,
churches versus putting their efforts into converting lost souls,
right,
which is really where our main focus ought to be, regardless of what we believe about the end times or regardless of, you know, the details of a particular denomination. So long as we are orthodox in our faith in the Trinity and, you know, Christ being the Son of God who gave his life and rose again,
right,
defeated death, and we believe, you know, whatever we believe specifically about the gifts of the Spirit, which differ from church to church, you know, how, whether we prophesy, whether we speak in tongues, whether we believe in gifts of healing, which again varies from denomination to denomination, when we are orthodox in our faith, we should seek the souls of the lost primarily and not poaching people from other,
right,
faiths. Because God can speak to you wherever you are in a church that may not believe in, for example, speaking in tongues. You may, in your prayer closet, break out in speaking in tongues, or you may have some other revelation of the Spirit of God without poaching people from other,
right,
churches and really just bringing deception and bringing
breaking up churches. Right, exactly.
And I think that's what Paul was speaking to, is don't go into the group of believers to create a division.
Right. Tear them off.
The Spirit of God can speak truth to each one who are seeking truth from Him. But the lost are still lost. And,
yeah,
if the church is focused inward on eating itself, you know, from within, instead of focusing outward on those who need salvation, this organization seems designed to break down the church.
Right. I totally agree. We're small, and this happened to us. But I don't know if any of you know the name Jack Hibbs. He's a very well-known pastor in Southern California. I don't really know what the town he's in, but there's a million towns down there. He has a very large church, Jack Hibbs. I love him. I do listen to his ministry quite often, and I heard him from the pulpit say these words: "And you cult who came through our door and tried to lure our people away from this church to join your Bible study and to join your theology school and take them to Korea, I rebuke you, and you are not welcome here." So don't think that just because we're small, we were targeted. No, they're infiltrating as much as they can in the United States.
Also, take it as somewhat of a, I'd say, a badge of honor that the enemy is looking to destroy even this church. So I believe God's got a plan for you and for this church, and the enemy sees it and wants to break it apart.
Yeah.
And failed to do so.
And failed. Andrew?
We have a similar stuff going on in India. They attack the main churches. They just touch predominantly Trinity, or they say Jesus is not Lord. He is the Son of God. He's not God. That's what they say. And they lure only for two reasons. One, for financial benefits from them. Secondly, on the news. We've seen them. It's easy to find your scriptures in their Buddha plan. Second, you can see the fruits of them after a period of time, 2 months, 3 months, it's all not good according to the will of God. Easy to find. We've seen that churches are broken. They use for their, you know, personal gains and wealth and other stuff. This is happening a lot in India. Is they don't go to the, you know, in India we have a lot of Hindus, like 60-70%, they don't go and convert. They come to the church. They take one fish from one tank to the other, which is not.
We have work to do, don't we? We have work to do to tell the truth, to tell the truth of the gospel to everybody we know, so that when they hear the fake, they know that's not right, that's wrong, and it doesn't ring true in my spirit. Will you stand with me this morning? Father God, how thankful we are that you do tell us that we can know your voice, and that we can know those who labor among us by their fruits, by the message that they tell, and whether they are leading astray others from other churches and even pastors themselves. I thank you, Lord, that you did give me this opportunity of learning a different way than I thought I needed to learn. But Lord, help us to be alert and aware and open to hearing the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we will know the fake when it comes to us. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for hovering over us as a people, as a body, as a family of God. And I pray, Lord, that that protection go with us from here. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Love you all. Love you all so very much, every one of you.